Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in, pull up a cozy chair, and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me, a psychic, medium, metaphysician, author of 4 books, teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the Mind, Body, and Spirit Compendium of Life, as well as experts in divination and holistic healing, fabulous tarot readers, wise and profound astrologers, and even the odd rock star, just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our 4th season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and worldwide. So find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Please do. Call in on our new number, which is 858-956-3204. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of our landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't find it there, just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You can find us on many formats like TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, and now Spotify. And you can watch me simultaneously broadcast our show every week live on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see me there live talking to you. So grab your latte, your cappuccino, perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend, and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in. Come on in, everyone. Come on in. This is Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio, but we're also live on Facebook. Hi, my Facebook peeps. And you'll see me turning my head, but you know, everything in the camera is backwards, so it's actually to my left. It looks like my right. And hello, YouTube. So YouTube is just seeing me now because it went a bit funny before I started. And I like to get it on all platforms if I can. Now, did you know today's a full moon? Today is a full moon in Aquarius. And as we come up to the age of Aquarius, and my moon is in Aquarius today, I mean, in my natal birth chart, I have the lovely Linda Moon. She goes by Moon as her nickname, Moon Rabbit, Zlotnik. And Linda is also an author, and she wrote a book about her sister, who is a twin of hers who died. She actually works on the death chart. It's very interesting in astrology how many things you can do and look at and understand. And so Linda is my guest today. I'm very, very excited to have her on the show. We'll get to her in a minute. She's waiting patiently in St. Paul, Minnesota, in the chat room, I mean, in the studio, virtual studio on the Blog Talk Radio website. And so let me go and do a bit of show news. First of all, I'd love to thank my last guest, my last week's guest, Petey Silvera. Petey and her husband, Ron, are in touring the UK right now. They're over from Florida. And I was so happy to have Petey in my living room broadcasting last week. If you watch the show, you know that we had a good time. I see Linda's like, oh, she sees me on the Facebook. That's good, Linda. Okay. Linda, write something in the chat if you want. I'm just calling her Linda, but she wants to be called Moon. And what a synchronicity on the full moon here. But anyway, let me go back just a minute to Petey.
Hi, Linda. I see you there. That's great. See, this is how it works. Okay. This is Petey's book. She asked me to write a review on Amazon, which I haven't done yet, but I will. It is absolutely stunning. And again, every one of my guests, everyone a winner. I know Petey a couple years now, many years actually. I can't even remember. My daughter might have been 10. That's how long ago it was that she asked me to be a guest on her show, which is New Pathway to Healing. Beautiful show, all about esoteric subjects as well. And Petey's book, this lovely book, she was my guest last week. Thank you, Petey. It's called Guided by the Truth, Honoring the Light Within, Petey Silvera. You can see it there. Let me show it to the YouTube people. And it's available on, you know, all good bookstores, Amazon particularly, and really worth checking out. Petey's in Edinburgh, Scotland, where my grandfather was born and raised. So, aye, Scotland. Have fun. Hope you're having a good time. I'm sure you will. The Outlander Trail. That's the way to go. Now, okay, next week, before I bring Moon on, is going to be the fabulous and dear friend of mine. I have friends in the business, and they do come on my show, and why not? I love to promote them. There's Petey. Hi, Petey. I just gave you the biggest big up. I just did. I hope you saw it. There it is. I mentioned the book. There's some laughter and hearts, so maybe she did. Okay, good. Right, so I do have friends who do come on the show every once in a while. Not all the people I have on my show are my friends. They're not all, of course, but I do love people in the mind, body, and spirit compendiums of life. And I don't really think they get enough of a voice. You know, mainstream news, mainstream medicine. Hi, Sue. Hi, Sue Allen. Hi. Sue was a guest on my show in the last. It's not the same Sue, maybe not. Okay. Petey is writing something. Just got in Edinburgh. Love you. I love you too, Petey. I'm so glad. Go see Outlander stuff. I mean, you're so close. You must see something there. But anyway, so I was going to say that what the thing I love about mind, body, spirit people are that they're tuned in, they're awake, they're spiritually awake. It doesn't matter which field they're in, whether it's psychology, yoga, the body, Kundalini yoga, which is what Petey teaches as well. And of course, the metaphysical, the spiritual, there is a joy, I think, in being around these people for me. And I know for many of you, many of my students, my clients, they all love it. And you know what? Mainstream media would like to shut it down. Mainstream media is having a big argument right now with our lovely homeopaths, Truth or News. You know, we can't allow this to happen. We can't all be, you know, dumbed down by them. So my little corner of the world at 63 years old, and doing this work for 38 years, is to just awaken as many people as I can. And I know that Russia hears me. I know that China hears me. I know Vietnam hears me. I know that, you know, Guam hears me. That's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio, and Petey will share that because her show was brilliant. It's still up there, New Pathway to Healing, which I mentioned. And we have to somehow get these messages out. So now you see why I'm broadcasting on not only Blog Talk Radio, but Facebook, YouTube. And we are available on Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Acast, which I just signed up for. And God, what else? What I leave out? TuneIn. And if you have Now TV, you know, that's very popular right now in the UK, Now TV. There's actually an app for TuneIn, which you can tune into my show on. Believe it or not, there it is. So, oh, my cat's scratching my Romeo. Stop that. full moon, animals get, you know, mental. Okay, so speaking of the full moon, I'm going to unmute her mic. Hold on a second. And let me bring up my marvelous, beautiful guest. Already, thank you, caller 520. We'll get to you in a minute. Not a minute, a little while. I have to talk about my lovely guest today. So, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention my next guest. Next week is Jackie Sean. That's my girlfriend, Jackie Sean. I love her to bits. She's a good friend of mine, a previous student of mine. And Jackie is a holistic makeup artist. So I'm sorry, I skipped over that. Let me just say that before I bring Moon up or Linda. Jackie Sean, beautiful makeup artist to the stars, got very sick with all the chemicals. And then, like all light workers, turned it around. Now she makes bespoke makeup and skincare that has no chemicals in it. And this girl does shoots for every major magazine. So, you know, and she's done red carpet work. I mean, Jackie is amazing. I love her to bits. She's really an amazing woman, and she's changing the industry. She's telling people, you can't put that garbage in the makeup. You can't put that stuff in the hair care. You're killing my clients. She's so brave, and that's how it should be. We shouldn't allow these products to be put on our skin. I had a big argument with my daughter about it, and she's a makeup artist as well, and I love her to bits. Well, I don't want her putting chemicals on her skin that are going to give her cancer. You know what I mean? And God knows what else. So, ladies, these are the fights that we're up against, amongst other things. So it's really great to have people on the show who are actually doing something about these things. Okay, so that's next week's show. So let me introduce, finally, Linda, who is called Moon. And from now on, I will call her Moon because she asked me to call her Moon. And here we go. So this is her bio, which I will be reading. And it says, after getting my first astrological consultation in college, I began studying and practicing astrology in 1973. I love that. See, I love that she was practicing astrology in 1973 because I myself was already had my first ephemeris in that time and was diving in. Yes, Chris. Okay. Take care. Have a good conference, Chris. I'll give you a plug. Put the date in the chat and I'll give a plug for your conference. I'm sorry. In 1977, I got formal training with Zipporah Dobbins, who is a very well-known astrologer, through her Los Angeles School Community Church of Religious Science. That's very interesting because, you know, Louise Hay was into religious science, too. After graduating, I started a full-time practice as a professional astrologer, working as in-house astrologer for SunSight Books from 1981 to 1987. I've attended many conferences and week-long intensives, taught astrology to beginners and seasoned astrologers alike, and served on the board of directors of professional astrological organizations, ProSig, the Professional Special Interest Group of NCGR, the National Council for Geocosmic Research. I think they're having a conference right now, if I'm not wrong. And I think Michael Luton's there, who was the previous guest. The Organization for Professional Astrology and STARS, the Society of Teaching Astrology Research and Study. In 2018, I was certified through OPA and currently work with them as a paid peer group trainer. In 2005, I began my study of astrological death charts and have been offering them to clients since 2016. I bring a rational, empathetic, practical, and deeply perceptive awareness to each client and astrological session. Building on four decades of experience with clients, I consider myself a master astrologer and an embodiment of the wise old crone. Oh, goody. A longtime lesbian feminist, I have met my love in 1991 and married her in 2013. We are the mothers of two grown daughters and have two tabby cats. I identify as a spiritual seeker and a Jew, a motherless daughter, and a twinless twin. Now, that is an amazing bio. So let me bring up Moon. Hold on one second. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Good. Okay, so welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio, Moon. It's lovely to have you on.
Thank you.
How are you doing with this full moon today in Aquarius?
Oh, I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's good. unfortunately, as you know, as an astrologer, you know, anything to do with Uranus, and things go a bit doo-la-ditty, you know, and so I had a little problem with my other computer earlier, but I think it's all right. Anyway, so welcome to Cafe Esoterica. We had a caller, now they disappeared, but if you want to call in and speak to Moon, the number to call is area code, if you're outside the United States, and of course we do have people from all over the world listening, so 001 is the code to the USA. The call center is actually located in San Diego, California, so the number there is 858. You'll be talking to the studio, but this is the number they give, 858-956-3204. So 858-956-3204. We'll take your calls in a little bit, okay? No, we're not taking them right away. I want to talk to Moon. Okay, so let's see now. Well, your bio kind of told us a bit about growing up and being interested in astrology. But I really always ask my guests this question, and I love this question, and I'm just curious. I want to know, what was the first thing that turned you on to what you're doing? Like, how did you come upon astrology? What made you think about it or want to know from it?
So many years ago, when I was in college, I had some friends who were talking about this astrologer that they knew, and they were really, really excited because she was doing practice readings for people for free. And so I kind of got on the list because I just thought it sounded so interesting. And so around age 20 or 21, I had an astrological reading, and there were parts of it that were pretty general, but there were a few things that were so specific that I almost felt like this astrologer had more insight into myself than I actually had. And so I got fascinated and rushed off to the library to see if I could find books to study astrology.
See, and you know, one is, it's interesting because you mentioned 1973 in your bio, which, you know, how many astrology books were actually available?
I only could find one at the library.
And this is St. Paul, Minnesota?
Yes, the Twin Cities.
Twin Cities. Well, because my first astrology book I found in Pittsburgh at 14, and I read Linda Goodman's book. My mother brought it home. She was an actress, and I told the story before. And she went to a party, and Linda was there signing her book. And my mother didn't know about astrology. And she just gave her a thing, and it was written, you know, Dear Pat, you know, great show. I think a lot of cast people went to this party. My mother was an actress. And she brought it home, and I noticed it on the shelf, and I thought, what is this book? And it was called Sun Signs by Linda Goodman, right? And that was like, a lot of people acknowledge Linda as being the first book they ever bought, weirdly enough. Hi, Stephen. And wow. So, you know, I'm amazed you could find one. I'm amazed that one came into my house. You know what I mean? And I was receptive enough
definitely.
To pick it up and read it. And astrology was becoming popular then through the hippie movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did eventually find a metaphysical bookstore, which had a bigger astrology selection than the library. And that helped with studying
So although your whole bio is about how much education you put into it and you learn, you know, when you were, you know, did you think this would be my career? I mean, where were you headed before that?
Oh, I was getting a major in English because I really liked reading books, but I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so this became kind of an obsession, even though I went ahead and I got my bachelor's degree in English. That entire time I was studying astrology and doing practice readings on people I knew so I could kind of, you know, like get a sense of how it worked. And it took like another 4 or 5 years to actually find a teacher. So I had to go to California. There were other people in the Twin Cities I found later, maybe, that I could have studied with, but nobody was like really running serious courses like my teacher in California.
Well, this is exactly what happened to me. Eventually, I had to go to California to get my education as well in metaphysics and even astrology, because I taught myself as much as I could. And then, you know, and I couldn't put it down. When you're an astrologer, you're born to be one. I think you're born to be one. I know many, I've taught many people, I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
If it drives you and you can't leave it alone, it's meant for you. You know what I mean? And I'm so happy to have you on the show today with this.
Thank
COVID.
You.
I right?
think of it as a calling, Sean, don't you?
Yes.
That people are kind of called to astrology.
Yes. Yes, that was my first thing, age 13. I was called to that book.
Yes.
And it kicked it off for me. And I'm so glad that's the thing I think out of all the things I know, I think I love astrology the most. It's the thing that most engages me, you know? And I know a lot of astrologers are completely obsessed with it, really. They love it that much, you know?
Yes.
Folks, if you've never thought about studying astrology, it is an absolute joy. And I'm going to ask, when you say it, you tell us why it's so wonderful. Why is it so wonderful, Moon, to study astrology? Tell us.
I'm sorry, you broke up just a little bit, so could you repeat the question?
I said I don't want to say why it's so wonderful to study astrology. I want you to tell us. You tell us why it's so wonderful to learn astrology? What are the benefits of astrology? What's good about it? You know, why study it? Why learn it? Why even have a session?
Right. Well, I think of astrology as a universal language or as a conduit to the cosmos. So, you know, as people, we're kind of stumbling around trying to do the best that we can and make decisions and move things forward without really understanding that the moment we're born, we have a cosmic blueprint, and that's your birth chart. And no matter how old you are, that birth chart stays with you. And inside of it is a map of not only who you are, but a kind of, my first teacher always said that character creates destiny. And so as you develop who you are, you get busy co-creating your life based on this birth chart. But that's not where it stops, because your chart moves forward as you do. And every year it's possible to do something called a progress chart for people where, you know, you can watch their personal evolution as things kind of move through the heavens. And so I love astrology for a lot of different reasons. One is that it's never boring. Two
never
is that
boring.
There's always something new to learn. Three is that it gives us a really profound kind of view of the big picture, a big picture of life and our place in the universe. And then it gives us guidance into making decisions and timing things and starting things and understanding why things are happening and what the timing of those things that we're going through, how we can learn from the things that we're going through.
Yes, yes. It's all about a learning experience, isn't it? All
it
of
is.
It, really. And okay, so I hope people will call in and we'll talk about astrology with Moon Zlotnick. I hope I'm saying your surname right, Zlotnick, right?
Yes, very, very good.
I know, okay. You can hear that Russian Jew in there.
Yeah.
Okay, me too, got it too. Okay, now let me just, I want to go to some, now, before your book, and we will get into your book, okay? We're going to take that on board after the first musical break.
Okay.
I just want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that, you know, are really important to you. You mentioned here in your questions, this is more about your book, and we're going to get to those after the first break, as I said. But I want to ask you a question about, you know, the things you mentioned, that you were a motherless child. Why did you say that?
Oh, a motherless daughter, because I lost my mom when I was a teenager. Yeah. Yeah, my twin and I lost our mom when we were teenagers. And I think, you know, it's a hardship to lose a parent at any age. But I think it's particularly hard to lose a parent when you still don't really know who you are and you're not really anchored in the world yet. And so I thought of this motherless daughter because I read a book about motherless daughters. And, you know, I just kind of talked about the difference between really being mentored by your parents all into your adulthood, you know. And we were still living at home. We were in high school. We hadn't really launched. And so to lose one of your primary parents, and I actually lost both of mine because my father said to me, oh, you're all grown up. And he just kind of took care of our younger brother. So he just kind of, he really said that to us. He said, well, you're grown up now. You know, go ahead. You just do your life. You just tell me what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. So it was a little bit like, you know, being cast out on my own a little too early, having to leave the nest too early.
That's very hard. I'm writing a little bit. You might hear me ticking away here, you know, because I have to type on a couple platforms here. I did see, are people still hearing me and Linda or Moon on, it looks like Facebook is still live, and because I did see a heart go by, but can people just let me know you can still hear us on there? Because there's not a lot of movement going on right now. I put something on there. And also, can everyone hear us? Can you hear us? Because you have to check everything because sometimes, you know, stuff happens. Okay, I think what we're going to do, we're almost up to the half hour, but it goes so quickly, Moon, so quickly. I'm going to come back and really talk about your book and about astrology more and the death chart. And what that's all about. For Linda, you're on Facebook nice and clear. Thank you. I'm so glad that you said that because I wasn't sure anyone was listening. Okay, thank you. You get a heart there, Linda Moon. Let's do this. We're going to play our first musical break. Now, I chose some really interesting music for this show. And some of it has Moon, the theme Moon in it. So I hope you like that, Moon. But the first one I thought was really quite beautiful because I'm a big Yes fan. I love prog rock. I love all rock, really. But I love the lyrics of Yes. I love the emotive lyrics, the mystical lyrics of the Moody Blues, too. And this song for our first break is Then, called Then. I'll write it down, Then, by Yes. Then, called Then, by Yes. Yes, official, there we go. And it's the song, the lyrics are gorgeous. And let me read some of them. And in a time that's closer, life will be even bolder than... Souls will be complicated, life will be consummated. Then hearts will be brought together, soon in our minds forever. Then As long as we see there's only us who can change it, only us to rearrange it at the start of a new kind of day. Love is the only answer. Hate is the root of cancer. Then truth is just for the being, and there's the sight for seeing. Then thoughts will be thought together soon in our minds forever. Then, as long as we see, there's only us who can change it, only us to rearrange it at the start of a new kind of day. And in a time that's closer, life will be even bolder. Then love is the only answer. Hate is the root of cancer. Then thoughts will be thought together soon in our minds forever. Then we'll be back. Let's hope Facebook doesn't block me because I'm playing music. And we'll see you in 5 minutes. Have a nice little break. And here we go with Then by Yes. We're back, and thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in on Facebook, on YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio, and anywhere else in the world you are. Thank you. It's much appreciated. I do all this for you. I want you guys to hear these wonderful people. And today, my guest, my wonderful guest on this full moon in Aquarius is Linda Moon Zlotnick, who is an astrologer. She's also written a beautiful book called Star Sisters, which we're now going to talk about. Hi, Linda. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Linda, tell us why you wrote the book Star Sisters. And I'd like to read a little, just a little bit of praise for Star Sisters after you say that. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, The book started out as a way to kind of just pour out the grief I felt about losing my twin. And slowly over time, it evolved into a way to really have a format for how astrology informed my understanding of the loss, and really how astrology allowed me to move forward kind of beyond the grief into something new.
Well, that then brings us to the death charts, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, let me just read this because I thought this was so beautiful. You know, somebody wrote on your website, and your website, let me just give everyone, if I haven't already, the thought I did, but you never know, is all the W's, astrologybymoonrabbit.com. Okay, if you want to go to Linda's website, please do. There's lots on there to check out. It says, more praise for Star Sisters, an excellent book about dealing with the loss of a loved one. Linda Zlotnick fits astrology into the narrative in a way that is easy for the layperson to understand, and shows how astrology can have an important role in health and healing. Now, these are quite, and this was written by Arlene Wise, former president and current vice president of the Organization for Professional Astrology. That's quite a review, isn't it?
I was happy with it.
I would be very happy with it. And, you know, there's more here, too, but I think, you know, to even write a book is a major achievement, but to write one about someone you love so dearly who, you know, who is your twin. And the twin magic is very powerful, you know, you can't really escape your twin. And so let's talk about that. You supplied me some questions. I'm going to begin them because I think they're definitely worth, you know, using in this interview. And it says, do you know any twins? How are they alike and different? How would you describe Linda and Luann's similarities and differences? How do the power dynamics between the twins shift as they grow and change? And, you know, I grew up with a family who had twins, and she was one of my dearest, best girlfriends, and she turned around and had twins, and it's, her brothers were twins. So it's highly unusual to have twins when
that is unusual.
And a good male friend of mine named Will, who I've known, he was my first friend I ever met here in London. His family owned a new age shop called Mysteries, and I worked there for 15 years off and on. And Will has twins, and he's in his 50s. He's got young twins, about 4 years old. And twins are amazing. They're just amazing. So, you know, any question in there you want answers, fine by me. How would you describe Linda and Luann's similarities and differences?
Well,
how are you similar?
You know, one of the things about twins is that there's always a firstborn. There's always a firstborn. And even though people don't think that birth order and families applies to twins, I really do think that it does. So our situation was a little bit different than average because we were premature, which is often true with twins. But yeah. I was so small, I had to be put in an incubator. And that was 1948. So incubators were not nice places. And nobody in the medical profession knew that babies needed skin-on-skin touch. And, you know, that it was just a place where they kept you alive. And so, oh yes, I was kept alive. But my sister went home and had this time with my parents before I came home being very sickly. And that kind of put in place a dynamic that stayed in place probably really our whole lives together, where she was strong and she was capable and she was the older and I was young and I was sickly and I needed attention or, you know, was less competent, let's put it that way. And so that was kind of the picture growing up, is that my parents said to my older sister, you know, you take care of her. And they said to me, now you listen to your older sister. So that kind of, I think, is similar to many families, you know, but people don't think about it in twin relationships as much. Although you and I probably both know any number of twins where, like, one of the twins, you know, it's just life is easier for them, or they're more athletic, or, you know, they make friends easier. And then there's the other twin who's a little bit more in the shadows. And so I don't think that's that uncommon. So we were a lot alike in many, many ways. But the thing that separated us was my sister had a sense of competency and a different kind of, I would call it, security than I did. And she also played the role of the firstborn by following a more conventional life path, by becoming a psychotherapist and then a psychoanalyst. But we both ended up working in closed rooms with people talking about what was going on in their lives and trying to figure out ways to help them. So, you know, it wasn't totally that different.
I think astrology is the original psychotherapy. And I think
it is.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even if you study psychology, you're using all the, you know, the things that Jung and Freud, and they all go back to the Greek myths. They all go back to, you know, even things are called the Cassandra syndrome and the this and the that, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so I do think that that's very similar. And I know many astrologers who are also trained in psychotherapy, and I know many psychotherapists who also love astrology. Donna Cunningham was one. She's a social worker who studied. And Liz Green, of course, Jung, so it really is very similar. However, the path is quite different.
Yes.
So that I can really see that may have, did that cause any rifts between you?
No, not really. No. In fact, sometimes she would send people to me, and sometimes I would send people to her. So, no, it was like, okay. You know, you need therapy. Here's a great therapist.
Well, that's good. That's really good. So I think twins can be naturally competitive. You were competitive with each other,
yes,
right?
Of course we were. Of course we were competitive, yes.
And was there any... Yeah, go on. I was going to say, was there any Gemini in your chart? Just curious.
Gemini on the nadir.
Okay.
So on the fourth house cusp, but not prominent,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Not prominent.
It's interesting.
So, I mean, I think we were competitive, like all siblings are competitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear... I mean, every once in a while, my sister would say things to me. I did a reading for a friend of hers that was going through a divorce, and I must have said something to this friend. I don't know what it was, but, you know, she said to me later, how do you do that? You know, you told her things that she didn't even tell her best friend. Like, how do you know that? So I think sometimes she might have felt that about me. And I always felt like she was so lucky because she had the letters behind her name and the, you know, kind of recognition that comes from doing a lot of education. And I could do a lot of education, but not get very many letters or the right kind of letters behind my name.
Mm-hmm. What happened here? There was an error publishing your live news feed. Can you still hear me? Can you still see me, Moon, on Facebook?
I can, but I don't know if I'm seeing you live or not. You're frozen.
I'm frozen. Okay. Since the live video stopped. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to start that again. Just hold on. These are the technical charms of being, Here we are. Choose to wear, okay, Cafe Esoterica Radio. Sorry, we'll be back in 1 second. Just 1 second, let me write this so people know what's happening. Okay, now that's it. Goes on. Isn't it funny that it went live? 3, 2, 1. And we're back. Okay. Hello, everyone. Here we are again. If you missed us, somehow Facebook stopped. You know, this is the stuff you put up with when you're trying to do something different. Something unusual. Okay, going back to your story, right, Moon, about...
Yes.
You know, twins are naturally competitive, and there was some competition between you.
I'm sorry. Wait, I got to turn that off.
Can you hear me? Okay,
I see
you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, you're there. So people can see me. That's great, right? Hello, Jerry. Hello, Linda. That's Moon. She's in the chat thingy on Facebook. And my people on YouTube are just seeing a side view of me because I'm looking at the other computer, okay? I'm sorry, the vision is a bit not great, but there you go, okay? All right, so let's go back. We do have a caller waiting. I'll take your call if you can hold on, caller. 770 area code. I see you in my queue. Just hang in there and we'll get to you, okay? I promise. Don't hang up. Hello, Crystal Ball Gretna. Hello. Good afternoon. So she's in the chat and somebody else in the calling. That's good. Okay, let's go back to Moon. Now, let's talk about the death chart a bit. Let's talk. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but unfortunately, we just time is always just, you know, it goes so quickly. What is the death chart? Can you explain it?
Yes, so it's just like a birth chart. You take the date, you take the place, and you take the time, and you create a map or a horoscope for, instead of when a person starts their life for when a person ends their life. And it, because of being an astrologer for so many years, you know, astrologers are obsessed with the time that things happen. And so I was fortunate enough to be at my sister's side when she died. So I did look at my watch, and then I thought, if anything can help me understand this loss and this terrible grief, it will be trying to understand the chart of the moment that she left. And so a death chart is that. It's actually a beginning, a new beginning for the person who's left the planet. And it's a bit of a roadmap for the people who are left behind.
So that's very interesting, because, you know, I asked you to do my mother's chart. My mother just died in February, and she was 94. She had Alzheimer's for 6 years. God bless her. What a way to go. And I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't do it. I'm usually pretty brave. But somehow, meeting you, isn't it ironic and wonderful that I met you, we just decided you'd be on the show, and boom, I didn't even ask you right away. I thought about it, and I think somebody else doing it and looking into it, and I say this for any astrologer who's listening, and we do have many all over the world who listen, if you can't face it, you know, get Moon to do it. That's her. That's what she specializes in. And I often think that the thing that is most grievous is often the thing that we become experts in. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. And, you know, my entire career, there was just a really interesting post on the Organization for Professional Astrology's Facebook page where the question was posed, do you see clients who have features in their chart that resemble your chart? And the most common response, which was in alignment with my response, was no, but we see clients who mirror the issues that we're dealing with at the time. So, for example, when I was going through a terrible breakup, more than half of the people who would come to see me would be going through a terrible breakup. When I was having some kind of an issue with one of my children, people would come in and they'd be having issues with their children. And I just felt like I live in this universe, which is always holding a mirror up and saying, you know, you have to be learning what you're teaching and teaching what you're learning. Because that seems to be how astrology works, is that there's a huge principle of attraction at work. And so I have been very focused on trying to understand how to use astrology to move myself forward through the loss of my twin. And as soon as I came back to work after she had died, because I took some time off, people came in with life-threatening illnesses. They came in, you know, in situations where they had lost somebody they loved. I mean, it was just like in front of my face. So it kind of felt like the universe was saying, boy, you know, you could learn about this, and I have been learning about it, and you could use this to help other people, and I have been using it to help other people.
That's a very powerful tool, I would think. You know, it, as all these esoteric tools are, very, very powerful. And, you know, people often say to me, I'm sure you get this as well, as an astrologer, as a psychic, as a medium, anything, you know, when am I going to die? Or when is my so-and-so going to die? Or are they going to die tomorrow? Oh, so-and-so's sick. Are they going to die? You know, I always say this, I'm not God, I cannot predict death. I don't predict death, and I don't think it's, not only is it psychologically damaging to predict death, but the people are so gullible, they'll just die on the day you predicted it just because you told them that, you know, we don't do that as a nurse. When I was a nurse, and you never tell a patient when they're going to die, you know, because they will believe it and they will die, you know, that's the way the brain works. So I just wanted to get your take on that while we were talking about this in the chart.
Well, I don't tell people when they're going to die, that's for sure. And actually, when my twin was sick, I looked to see if there was like anything I could tell from the stars. And I basically couldn't. I was way, way, way too close to it. But then, of course, it turned out after the fact that the moment she chose to leave made so much sense. And I'll say this to you as another astrologer. It was the beginning of our second Saturn return. Right. And as you know, Saturn is about completion. Right. It's about endings. It's about loss. It's about being responsible for our own lives. And each one of those things was present in different ways for each one of us.
Wow. A lot of people do go, I mean, not a lot, but a certain amount of people do go in a Saturn return, second Saturn, and sometimes the first.
That's it.
They just came for a short visit. Good luck, you know. And or are they finishing off something from a previous life, my office.
Right.
And the eighth house tells a lot about the death, right? And
the fourth house.
And the fourth house. Let's talk about that
house.
Because, you know, we both know about these things, but our audience may not. So we look in the eighth house. The eighth house is typically the Scorpio house. And let's talk about that.
So what is the eighth house? In traditional astrology, just go around the wheel.
The eighth house is the house of death, rebirth, taxes, our desires, transformation.
It's a part of the chart that has to do with, I think, some level of going into the darkness to come out on the other side of it. And so, you know, there are many times or ways in life where we're forced to confront, let's say, the shadow or the destructive or the most difficult aspects of life. And so the eighth house has this great regenerative power to it because you can pass through something and come out stronger, but it also can be a point where people feel like, okay, it's really time to let go and to surrender and to just kind of, you know, I think of it as moving on, not like ending. Okay. But I'll just tell you kind of across the board, I have seen the fourth house, which people think of much more as the beginning because it's home and family and nurturing. But, you know, I've seen so many more really concrete losses in people's lives when that fourth house is activated. All of the water houses, including again the 12th house, you know, they all can be part of that passageway to the next realm.
Right. And see, I mean, this is playing with fire right now, but when Jupiter transits I've seen Jupiter take people out. Like, I mean, it's just observing, you know, not predicting.
Right.
I right now, let's talk about me. One, I have Pluto. Listen to this. When you see my chart, Pluto and Saturn are sitting right on my head, literally. My rising sign is 17 degrees Capricorn. My Mars. Mars is in my first house, 24 degrees Capricorn. It opposes Uranus, 26 in the seventh in Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got, and we'll talk about Pluto because it's very important, Pluto, we're going to talk about. And so I've also got, if you go to my seventh house, so, you know, I have Capricorn and Aquarius. I have Cancer and Leo in the seventh. So all this stuff going on in Leo has been hitting. And even the stuff today, the Aquarius new moon, my moon is in the first house, 18 degrees Aquarius. And of course, my Pluto and Jupiter are conjunct. Jupiter's 21, Leo, and Pluto is 26. So they oppose my moon, wide orbs. But some of them. And so I really, I looked at my chart and thought, am I going to die? Is this it? You know, I've got Saturn and Pluto and the South Node, okay, hitting all this stuff in my first house. And Chiron is in Aries right now, and I'm 16 degrees Aries, so not quite yet. But I am smarter than that, see, because there's a part of me that says, nah, this ain't it. And I think we do have an intuition about our death. I think we do know, ultimately, unless it's a real shock, you get hit by a car or something like this, you know, that I think we do know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's really interesting because, of course, people who are highly intuitive will have a really different experience than people who are really disowning their intuitive side. And so, you know, people who come to see us, you know, so if we're doing astrology readings or psychic readings or any kind of, you know, metaphysical journeying, mostly we get pretty intuitive, self-aware people. So I think, yes. And I feel really, really certain that my twin knew, you know, she knew that she was dying, and she still decided to go ahead and fight, you know. But then at some point, she just decided to stop. And her illness was sprinkled with these really extraordinarily spiritual experiences that convinced me that the other side is a very, very lovely place. You know, it's a place that she described as having the most beautiful music ever. And she said that when she would go there, her pain would completely go away. And she was reunited with all the loved ones that had died, that they were just waiting for her with open arms. So it really gave me a different understanding of death, kind of watching her go through this process.
And that is the beauty of, that is really beautiful. That is a beautiful experience to behold, even though it's tragic too, you know, it's sad. But I do know myself, when I was a nurse and training as a nurse, I worked in the cancer ward in West Hills Hospital in Los Angeles, out in Woodland Hills, for all those living in L.A. And we had very famous people in there. We had, believe it or not, we had one of the Gibbs, you know, the Bee Gees. We had, we had Andy Gibb was a patient there. For a while, and we had he didn't have cancer, he had something else, and you know, it was a very interesting experience as a young woman to watch people die. I'd already had a profound death in my life, and it was my first boyfriend who died when he was 25. We were together for many, many years in my high school years, all my high school years. We lived together in L.A. And then he got hit by a car and basically died. We weren't together at that time. We had broken up, but, you know, it didn't matter. And I got all those experiences myself. You know, that's why I do what I do, that love never dies, and heaven is beautiful, and we go on. You know, we move on to the next realm, which is heaven, you know. And everyone's there waiting for us, you know. We've been there a million times, and we'll come back a million times if we so, you know, want it, if we so desire it. And so I still feel him around me a lot, and I had another boyfriend who died in 2004. I didn't really know until close to, it was late 2004, and until 2005, because I'm in London and he was in America. But he just showed himself to me. You can't deny that. And no, then I found out. Then I looked it up. And there it all was. You know.
It's very, very common, Sean, for twins to, like, have a cellular feeling when, even if, you know, so I of course, been in touch with many, many other twins. I'm part of a Twinless Twins group. And, you know, they will talk about either seeing their twin or feeling like desperately sick and then getting the phone call and the I think of it as that cellular DNA connection between twins, where, you know, there's just a kind of knowing because you are so used to being connected to this other, almost part of your own self, you know. So, yeah.
Michael Newton. You know Michael Newton's work, you know, Life Between Lives?
I've met Michael a few times.
Wonderful. So Michael's work is, if you don't know, folks, it's a Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Life Between Lives, Regression. And he did the world the most profound gift. 40 years of research went into what he's talking about. See, people, I'm a past life regressionist myself, and 40 years of research says, Dr. Michael Newton, you know, this isn't, you can't make this up. This isn't a lie. You know, these are people from all walks of life under hypnosis, and they didn't know themselves where they were going, you know?
Right.
And yet here they are talking about what happens in between lives. So I always believed as an astrologer, I was taught this myself, but that we choose our parents, we choose our path, we choose what body we're going to be in. We choose the date, the time, the place, because the chart is so important. How could it just be willy-nilly? We just jump into a body, the soul, you know? And so it makes sense that the birth chart, the natal birth chart, is so important that the death chart would be equally as important. Did the person live the life they were meant to live? And would you, I'm just throwing that at you. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to step off to the side and come back and answer the question in a second. But, you know, as I was writing the book, I was part of a few different writers' groups to kind of, you have to do that to keep the momentum going. And one of the women in my writers' group said to me, oh, so when your twin died, you got a new birth chart. And I had never thought of that. You know, because I was writing about how my life start, I had to live a different life, and I have been living a different life without her. But I went back after time passed, and I studied that chart, and I actually embody the qualities of her death chart in a way that's kind of surprising to me. So that's not about her picking the moment of death, but I'll go back to the second Saturn return. There were a few things that made it really, really clear to me as I studied her death chart that she was done. She was done. She had fulfilled her karma. You know, she had pretty much done what she really, really came here to do. And even though I wanted her to be around, on a deeper level, her purpose was served. So yes, I tend to feel like, you know, even we can look at what seems like a very tragic, you know, like when a young person dies and that kind of thing, but we don't really know on the soul level. I believe that on the soul level, the timing is right. And astrology can offer a glimpse into that. But I think in our ordinary, everyday human understanding, we don't really know that. We can't perceive that.
Okay. The reason I know you can see me on the Facebook, and I've got a question that's come up on the chat for you, which is from Sue. Her name is Sue. And so let me just go there. Hold on a second. I'm going to ask it now. And then I think we'll take our caller, because before you know it, we'll be running out of time.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hold on. I didn't do the second song. Oh, my God. I have to take a break, a musical break. Hold on. So
okay.
We'll do first, and then we'll come back. Okay. So, Sue, question, can you tell from someone's death chart if you have completed your lifetimes together? And she goes on, like, I know I have been in many lifetimes with my mother and wondered if I could tell we have completed the dance we have done for many lifetimes. What a beautiful question. What do you think?
I agree. That's a really beautiful question. And boy, I would love to be able to say that there's a definitive way to tell, but to be like really honest, I don't know. So I'm more likely, I've done a lot of parents and children comparison charts, you know, and that's of course when both people are still around and wanting to understand their relationship. And right. So the karma will show up, of course, but I don't know. I haven't, that would be a whole nother kind of area to add to the studying I'm doing to see if there's a kind of point of release of old karma between family members.
I think it's interesting, Saturn, North and South Node, right?
Right, right.
I mean, it's very interesting that those karmic connections. And I think she's saying she can hear you well. This is on YouTube. Thank God. Oh, my God. Today, of all days, everyone can hear and nobody's blanked out. And okay, so that's a lovely answer. She's going to, I mean, this is something to research. Maybe this is the next step. Astrology, as we know, never dies. You know, there's always
right,
something,
there's always
more
something new to study.
Hi, Bella. There's always something new to learn. There's always something new to discover. And I was thinking this myself with my mother. It's funny this has come up because my mother and I have had our moments. We've had plenty of them. She was a Scorpio. I'm an Aries. That and my her Chiron was in Aries, and my air, and it was right on my sun. So you know you can imagine the fight.
Yeah.
Yes, but there was also tremendous love there, you know. And she's a lot like my daughter's a lot like her. She's in fact I think my daughter's more like my mother than she is me, and that's really uh-huh. interesting to witness too. And when I look at the link of Saturn and the moon and also the nodes, I think you could make some connections there, right?
Yes, that's where you would start looking for sure.
Okay, my lovely person in the chat, Sue, on YouTube is saying, so I was looking at the north and south nodes for both of us. Yes, it is ever expanding since I started studying astrology. So yes, yes. And Saturn, I think, too. Okay, my lovelies. I don't want to. I really don't. We're all doing so great. But, you know, it all helps. Have a little break. If you have to run to Lou or get a drink, we still have 20 minutes to go and maybe a rough 18 minutes, if I'm honest. So let's have a little musical break, then we'll come back and answer. Let's just see. Oh, yeah, 770, you hung in there. Good girl or good boy or good person, because I'm going to come back after this break and take your call. We are live on Cafe Esoterica Radio, and we'll be back in 5 minutes or less with Savage Garden, because we have the lovely Linda Moon Blotnick, the astrologer who also works with the death chart. Very interesting discussion about that. And so the song is To the Moon and Back by Savage Garden. And we'll be back.
Private to come,
and just say
to me, just say it.
We're back for the last about 10-18 minutes of the show. Annette Graham, who was my dear friend growing up in Pittsburgh, still a dear friend. Hello, AG. How are you? Love from Maggie. Let's go to Linda. We're going to take a caller because we're running out of time. So here we go. 770, your efforts have been praised. Here you go. You're live on the air with Linda Moon Blotnick, the astrologer. Tell us your name.
Hi. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. My name is Maddie. I'm calling here from Georgia, Atlanta.
Hello, and, Maddie from Atlanta.
Hi. Is Linda doing a...
Yes, I'm here.
Go on. Ask your question.
Doing mental reading, does she need my information, or is she just picking up the energy around me? Okay.
You could call. I don't know that she's going to actually do a reading for you because A, we don't have enough time, and B, if you have one question, maybe she can answer you.
Yeah, I have one question. My question is, what energy does she see around my health?
Okay. So
have we got a birthday just quickly?
A date of birth would help.
date of birth
would help?
Yeah.
Okay. 1/7.
I need to know the year. I'm really sorry.
That's okay. 1745.
Okay, hang on.
So you're a
right
Capricorn.
I can give you the time also if you need that.
Nope, I'm going to do the old-fashioned, just look you up in the book.
Yeah, we won't have time for all that. I'm sorry. The show, you know, it goes
okay
so quickly. So while Linda's doing that.
I totally
that,
understand, yes.
No, so yeah, here's what I can tell you is
no,
that, you know, you're under a really, really hard time right now. And in 6 months, if you're doing better, then you're going to continue to keep doing better.
Okay. All right. I think I'm under stress. People stress me out right now, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yes,
yeah.
If you can find a way to say no more often, it's probably going to make your health better.
If I can find a way to do what?
To say no more often.
I'll say more often and just stop picking up the phone. Yes, yes. Because
yes,
they stress me out with their stuff. Yes.
Yeah, just tell them no. It's out of the question.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay.
I knew it was stress. It was like, oh no, leave me alone.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Georgia,
thank you for waiting for so long.
Give our best to Georgia. Give our best to Georgia. What a gorgeous state that is. Have you ever been there?
Oh, it is, but it's very, very humid.
I know.
The air quality is not that great. I mean, it's just humid. The humidity has been going on for days. It's just it's really been horrendous. It really has been. But I know that I'm looking forward for November, December.
Yeah.
And
a beautiful autumn time, because even in Savannah and different places in Georgia, you do get a bit of the old leaves turning, don't you?
You do. You really do. So I'm looking forward for the cooler weather, because I really love cool weather. And every summer I go through this in Georgia, the humidity is like, send me to the North Pole.
Sally, thank you for calling in. Next time we'll try and catch you earlier, okay? But thank you. Keep listening, okay? All the best.
I will. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye now.
I will.
See, she's a Capricorn, and Capricorns
right
are going through a really rough ride.
Yes.
I mentioned that with my rising sign.
Right.
Before we have little time left, I want to just talk to you today. Everyone's up in arms about the full moon in Aquarius. Why don't we talk about it, Linda? We haven't really talked about it. So what do you see about this old full moon today in Aquarius?
Well,
and how it's,
you know, so this happens every year, you know, sometime in the month of Leo or in August. But this
right
is a particularly special full moon, because the sun is traveling with Venus, and it's not that
right
far away from Mars. And so we have a little bit of this extra, what I think of as the Venus sun in Leo saying life is good, be happy, have a good time, enjoy it yourself, you know, celebrate a little bit. And then the moon in Aquarius is kind of calling people to be detached and objective and think about life really rationally. And so there's a little bit more of this feeling of polarization in the air.
Mm.
The full moon, you know, is kind of a time where things are brought to fruition. And so it can be used in a very kind of intentional way, you know. So like, if you're wanting something to be more public, you might want to do it on a full moon. So, you know what I mean? If you're promoting something or, you know, you're wanting something especially, I would say this full moon may be romantic, but you can use that energy to kind of heighten things, because the full moon will always bring an energy of heightened emotions and illumination.
Linda, you know, that it's amazing to have you on. I'm so sorry, but we're really almost out of time. I have just enough to finish the show up and play.
Okay.
I chose a beautiful song, which I think you'll like, Moon River, and it's sung by...
Oh, I love Moon River.
It's sung, and I got the one that's sung by Audrey Hepburn. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I'm going to thank you, Linda, Moon.
And I thank you, Sean.
You're so welcome. It's a joy to have you on the show. It goes so quickly, you know, between asking the questions and taking care of all the business. I want to mention your website, which is astrologybymoonrabbit.com, and your email, if people were interested to get in touch, it's moonrabbitastrologer@gmail.com.
You didn't say that quite correctly.
Oh, tell me.
It's moonrabbitastrology@gmail.
God, I read it. It's written here and I didn't say it right. I'm so sorry. Let me say it again. moonrabbitastrology@gmail.com. Right?
Thank you.
Please go out and get her book, Star Sisters, which is also available on her website. You can pick it up there. And for me, it just leaves me to say next week, the lovely Jackie Sean, makeup artist to the stars, talking about healthy makeup for women and holistic creams and all the bespoke, beautiful stuff. Jackie's an old friend, and she'll be back to talk to us about all her latest doings, what she's up to. And now I'm going to do my signing off with In This Metaphysical Moment, and then we'll be playing out with Audrey Hepburn, Moon River. And thank you all for listening and coming, and see you next week. Light and dark. Within the realm of existence, universal laws exist. They are rarely taught in schools. They are hardly daily conversation. Yet, they are so important, governing our lives invisibly but dramatically. What we focus on, we draw to us. That law is known as the law of attraction. What do we want to bring into your world? What do you want to bring into your world? Happiness and health, or injustice and upset? Focus your mind, release your burdens, create your dreams. Opposites attract, they also repel. This is the universal law of opposites, which means wherever there is good, there is probably evil not far off. This law asks us to learn both and create balance and harmony within, not to exceed in one, but to understand all of who we are. Anger and pain come under suffering. They are the opposite of laughter and joy. So when you are experiencing this opposite, know this will come back again, swinging on the continuing pendulum of life. All is experience. Energy cannot die. It will, however, transform. That law is the law of correspondence, and it righteously states, as it is above, so it is below. Day is night, and night is day, somewhere in the world. The daylight is happening, and so is the nighttime. We live in both, and we need both to exist, rest, work, and play. In this metaphysical moment, I seek to understand all the universal laws, knowing how they will allow me to be the best I can be. My soul is adherent to the laws of heaven in between lives, and the law of gravity while on earth, and the law of karma, also known as the law of cause and effect. While I go about my daily routine, and this creates truth and harmony within my life. Balance is the key. The master walks the path of the middle way. Okay, I went over there, but I'm playing us out right now with beautiful song, Moon River, sung by the gorgeous Audrey Hepburn. See you next week, folks.
Wherever you're going, I'm going your way. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. The
thank you, everyone, for coming by. It was a lovely show. And thank you to my guests very much, Linda Moon Zlotnick. And we'll see you next week with Jackie Sean. And till then, happy full moon. Take care. God bless. See you next week. Bye.